Joshua, Judges Ruth, Chapter 9. Helping One Another. Before Israel had gone up to take possession of their inheritance, Joshua had seen an armed man standing with drawn sword in the pathway, and in answer to the question, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" he had answered, "As captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." The conquest of Canaan was not to be wholly dependent upon the efforts of Israel or her captains, nor yet was it to be attained without their cooperation. The promised land was just before them, the wanderers were nearing their home, but their inheritance was still in the possession of the Canaanites. They still had to exercise faith and put forth effort in obedience to God's command. But as they advanced, an unseen host went before them, and the angel of his presence directed their steps. The people of God were co-warriors with Christ and his angels. And as human faith and effort united with divine power, Jordan parted, Jericho fell, and the Canaanites were vanquished. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he swore to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it, and dwelt therein. In all their marches and battles, Israel was borne on, and buoyed up, by an unseen deliverer. There was no place for pride in their conquests, for it was evident that the captain of the Lord's host wrought for them, and the shout of the song of Israel was one of praise to him who gives the victory. And the Lord gave them rest round about, according to all that he swore unto their fathers, and there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. That it is profitable to serve God was demonstrated in the experience of the Israelites. They had been delivered from the cruel bondage of Egypt. They had been fed with the bread of heaven. They had been refreshed with water from the rock. They had been preserved from sickness, pavilioned beneath the cloudy, fiery pillar, delivered from their enemies, and given rest in the land of their inheritance. There failed not out of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Israel's experience is full of suggestion to the Christian. The follower of Christ has been delivered from the cruel bondage of God's many and Lord's many. While Canaan is a type of the rest that remains for the children of God, that will be fully realized in the soon coming kingdom of our Lord, its conquest has also a spiritual significance in the life that now is. In the victory that must be achieved in banishing the Canaanites of heart, divine power must accompany human effort. We must have the captain of the Lord's host to go before us, that our enemies may be subdued and vanquished. We must render our faculties in an unswerving and consecrated service to our God, that there may be a complete government of God established in our hearts. Jesus has said, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." He is the captain of the Lord's host, and he declares, "There shall no strange God be in you, either shall you worship any strange God." Like Israel of old, we have not availed ourselves of our exalted privileges. We have been too easily satisfied with small attainments, with half conquests, and because of unsubdued enemies we have been led into idolatry and sin. But the desire of the Lord has been expressed in the words of the psalm. "Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways! I should soon have subdued their enemies, and turned my hand against their adversaries. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied them." Then Joshua called the Reubenites, and the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and said unto them, "You have kept all that Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. You have not left your brethren these many days unto this day." These tribes had chosen their possession on the other side of Jordan, but, having attained their desire, they did not settle down to enjoy themselves, and leave their brethren to fight unaided in gaining their inheritance. Moses had declared that if they would indeed go armed for their brethren's sake until they too had acquired their possession, then they might return to their homes and be guiltless before the Lord. This is a very significant statement, inferring that those who are content to enjoy their possessions without thought or effort for others are not held guiltless before God. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." For about 7 years the warriors of these tribes had fought the battles of their brethren, bearing their burdens, rejoicing in victories gained in their behalf. But God had given rest to Israel, and they are now to receive an honorable discharge from an honorable service. Joshua bids them return and get to their tents and to the land of their possession. And now the Lord your God has given rest unto your brethren, as he promised them. Therefore now return, and get unto your tents, and unto the land of your possession, which Moses the servant of the Lord gave you on the other side Jordan. Their inheritance was separated from the inheritance of Israel, and Joshua realized their danger of becoming cold in the service of God, as they would be isolated from their brethren, and could participate in the privileges of the tabernacle only with great inconvenience. He exhorted them to take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, to love the Lord your God, to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Then Joshua blessed them and sent them away. One half the tribe of Manasseh had been given a portion in Bashan. And he spoke unto them, saying, Return with much riches unto your tents, and divide the spoil of your enemies with your brethren. Their brethren had a share in the conflict both by actual service and by staying with the stuff, and they were to share in the spoil. Service to God is service to one another. There is no place for selfishness in the religion of Christ. In every commandment that God has given denoting our duty to him and to our fellow men, there is nothing required but that which will ennoble the doer, benefit the world, and glorify the Creator. The humble worker who toils in obscurity, aiding the cause of God, is not forgotten before him and will not be overlooked in the day when the spoils are divided and the reward is given. E.J. Wagoner.